Welcome to GleeCast,
the twice monthly
home of
movies about Glee or dancing or singing or something. It's just stuff we want to watch. Just go with it.
And casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
You got your NOS?
I have my NOS. I'm ready to get fast and or furious.
NOS! I've never been particularly fast. I'm still not very fast. I rarely get furious.
Oh, I get furious.
Do you get too fast and too furious sometimes?
Not yet. Not until December.
Do you ever get just fast and furious?
I think so, yes.
Do you ever Tokyo Drift that fast and fury?
Only in January.
See, I am so now the fast. Okay, so today, hi everybody, GleeCast.
GleeCast.
We are starting our coverage of the very appropriate Fast and Furious series.
Yes, which I'm forcing on Emily.
yeah, that's one way of putting it. one thing I will say that I think is, I can't decide if I think it's brilliant or really obnoxious, is how this franchise has been so reluctant to number its sequels that it found so many ways around it, right?
Well, it's just The Fast and the Furious. Two Fast, Two Furious, but they're numbers. It's not
right.
T-O-O, it's the number two.
So in other words, if they ever get up to like another number, they can go back and use Too Fast and Furious.
They could. And then the third one is just Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, or it might be The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. I think that's what it is. Wait, I'm gonna confirm.
Because it's not The Fast and the Furious Part 3. It's okay.
But see, this is what happens. It's The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift colon Tokyo Drift.
Uh-huh.
And that
which is really confusing if you're trying to figure out what order they come in for
it's
somebody.
Really not,
No, Tokyo Drift is, and so is the next one, because there are no numbers. So I'm going on Netflix to see what's what. I don't know what I'm getting.
You should have just asked me.
Well, yes, that's what I'm saying, is a lowly, not knowledgeable person such as myself has to investigate and read, check the dates and read the order to make sure I know what comes when.
But anyway, the point is that The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift is when the director Justin Lin took over, and he kind of changed the franchise into what it is now, which is much better than The Fast and the Furious and Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay.
But there are character lead through lines, which is why I wouldn't let you start at number three.
And I appreciate that. But I have to say, by the time we get to part four, which is just titled Fast Ampersand Furious, that pisses me off.
Right, because that's like his next installment. But after that, it's Fast 5, which has the number in it. And then it goes to Fast and Furious 6 and Fast and Furious 7.
But isn't technically Fast and Furious 6 is really just like Fast and Furious Part 2, because it's not The Fast and the Furious. Like, they could spin it off and make a separate franchise that's The Fast and the Furious Part 3, The Fast and the Furious Part 4, and so on. I'm just saying, I find, and I don't know if anybody out there agrees with me, maybe I'm alone in this, but I find the naming of this franchise very, very confusing to my...
What about Step Up?
Oh, I think Step Up 4 should have been Step Up 4 Revolution.
I know, but it's not.
I know, and it bothers me.
Same problem.
And again, well, if you look at, like, what I know, like, when I added it to Letterboxd, it added it as Step Up 4. Like, the cover art was Step Up 4 Revolution.
Well, because it was
so
also,
I think in some markets, it was Step Up 4.
It was Step Up 4 Miami Heat.
Oh.
Some places.
Also makes... Oh, it doesn't make sense in the context of Step Up 4, F-O-R Miami Heat, because that sounds silly. But whereas Step Up 4 Revolution... Makes sense, because it's like, yeah, I'm gonna make a stand about this. Making a stand about Miami Heat seems a little more frivolous, I guess.
Yes, it does.
Instead of the importance of protestation that we learned from Step Up for Revolution. So, Fast and the Furious.
The Fast and the Furious.
God damn it, you're right. I'm talking about a completely different movie I haven't even seen yet.
You are.
All right, Erica, tell me first, why did you pick The Fast and A&D, not ampersand, The Furious?
I picked to cover The Fast and The Furious because these movies are essentially the step up of car movies. they're total car exploitation. Maybe not the first one and second one, but after that, it's just big action set pieces with ridiculous tricks. Just like they're big action, like big dance sequences with ridiculous tricks.
Very multi-ethnic casts all around.
Yes. And I just enjoy the crap out of them. You want my history with them?
Yes, I do.
My boyfriend Michael and I, we were like watching the commercial for Fast and Furious 6, and Vin Diesel's back in that one, and we were like, that one looks kind of good. And there was a really good song in the trailer. There was like a dubstep remix of the song Breathe by Prodigy, which was a big song when I was in like 7th grade, and I love it. And we were like, that actually looks really good. I kind of want to see that. And we were both like, we haven't seen any of them except for like the first one. Mm-hmm. Like I saw the first one when I was like in high school. It came out in 2001. So it was the year I graduated high school. I don't even know if I saw it then. I probably like watched it on TV or something, just because I've always loved Vin Diesel. I have a very large soft spot in my heart for Vin Diesel.
For that big head.
Yes. And that, yes, I love him. But anyway, we were like, that looks kind of good. We were like, we should probably watch the rest of them. And we were like, well, we were like, Fast Five is on HBO Go. Let's just watch Fast Five. And we watched Fast Five and we were like, that was really fucking good. Like, we need to go back and watch all of them. So we went to the library and we got them starting at number one, watched 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then rewatched 5 because that's how much we loved 5.
Okay.
And still haven't seen 6 because by the time we finish watching all 5 movies, and well, 6 movies because we watched it before and twice, by the time we finished that, it was out of theaters already.
And well, 6 only came out like in May, right? Or April?
Yeah, this all happened fairly recently.
Right. Because that's
what happened there.
Okay, because they've kind of found this like weird sweet spot to come out before like summer movie season.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think both 5 and 6 have done that, where they've come out in like April, where they're not really in competition with anything yet, and all of a sudden they have like the biggest opening weekends of those months in history because
they're ridiculously
fun.
Yeah. And nothing else is going on. And now the casting's getting ridiculous. Tony Jaa has been announced for number 7, and they're trying to get Kurt Russell in it.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Come on, they're so much fun.
Yeah. And see, now my relationship with the Fast and the Furious films franchise is different. I watched the first one. I think someone in my family rented it very shortly after it came out on video. So we're going back to like 2002 or something. And I remember watching it with, like, I must have been home from college. So we all watched it. And back in 2002, I will save my review of what I think of it now. None of us were overly excited. So then I never saw it. And I was just so distracted by the fact that I was watching a lesser version of Point Break.
Right.
Now, there have been essays written about this. It is not, you know, I am nobody special in pointing this out. But the first Fast and the Furious film has, aside from typical story of undercover, guy goes undercover in this extreme world he's unfamiliar with and kind of gets seduced by it. The main plot is very similar, but as are so many details, like the fact that both Paul Walker's character and Keanu Reeves' character, like, they order the same things whenever they go to eat. There's that same, like, false arrest and all this stuff, and there's, you know, either your grizzled older partner and so on. So I remember noticing it then and it really bothering me and being like, fuck this series, I don't need to see anymore. And then the second one came out we should talk a little bit about the background, because it was an interesting film, because when it came out of nowhere and made Vin Diesel a star.
Did it? Was this, because this was before, this was before the brilliant Triple X, which I also love.
Well, that was a fun little thing, was when it came out, it was shortly after, I think, Pitch Black. So, like, Vin Diesel was kind of getting a bit of the name of, like, oh, this guy's pretty good.
He had already been in Saving Private Ryan and Boiler Room.
Right. So he was, does he have
and
hair
then
in
Boiler Pitch Room? Black. He does have a little bit of hair in Boiler Room.
Time he ever had hair. Yeah. So he was like Iron Giant, that's right, he has a voice. He was slowly kind of becoming somebody to notice. And then with Fast and the Furious, all of a sudden it was like, whoa, who is this guy? who is this guy that is not going to do Too Fast, Too Furious without a $20 million contract? Oh, I guess he's not doing Too Fast, Too Furious. He's going to go on and make Triple X. Paul Walker, hey, we'll keep him for Too Fast, Too Furious. So it became kind of like, and then Triple X kind of bombed, I believe.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting sort of like, Vin Diesel became a star, but then seemingly might have bit the hand that fed him.
It bombed enough for them to make a sequel that Vin Diesel didn't come back for.
For Fast and Furious 3, no. There's no Vin Diesel?
No, Triple X State of the Union is Ice Cube.
Oh, right. No, I thought you were talking about Fast and Furious.
No. I'm saying he did the same thing happened again with Triple X. He didn't come back for the second one, but they still made a sequel, but they didn't use him.
Although, right, but I don't think Triple X did that well.
Although now on IMDb, it looks like there's going to be a third Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage.
Is that, wait, with,
Vin Diesel is Xander Cage, yeah.
He has a habit of, like, just leaving and coming back.
Leaving and coming back, yeah. Well, I'm not going to say anything.
Okay. Well, he became very much like, sort of an Angelina, we were talking about Angelina Jolie the other day and how, like, she sort of became a celebrity before she had really done movies that would have made her a celebrity. Because she had done enough stuff and had, like, appeared at an award show and, like, gave really good sound bites where all of a sudden magazines wanted to put her on the cover. And, like, Olivia Wilde, I think, is kind of like that now where, like, nobody can think of what movie she's actually been in or if she's actually a good actress, but she's, like, she gives good interviews, so she's on magazine covers. That was kind of like Vin Diesel kind of became, like, the go-to guy on the cover of magazines. And he was, like, very secretive for a while about, like, what his ethnic background was. I don't know if he's ever said it.
I don't think
he's
ever said it.
According to Wikipedia, he has expressed his love for the Dominican Republic, but, I mean, I don't, like, I've expressed my love for countries I'm not a part of, so I don't know. but, yeah, so he became, like, he kind of played with the idea of celebrity a little bit and became like, oh, this guy's just so interesting. And I remember, like, my dad kind of being interested by him for a while. So, you know, you had this sort of cultness around this little movie that could and then spawned into a very interesting franchise. But I guess as we get into more of the movies, we'll see the directions it goes in.
Yeah.
But now, so revisiting Fast and the Furious, Erica, do you think we need to give a summary of what the movie's about, or should we just say see Point Break?
Well, I've never seen Point Break, so.
You are missing out, sister.
I'm sorry. But essentially, Paul Walker is an undercover cop, and he's been recruited to find out he's sent undercover to find out who's ripping off these cargo trucks and stealing DVD players. Which is kind of anticlimactic.
Aww. And it's also, like, really cute, because it's 2013 now. So you think of, like, moving cargo, it's like, oh my god, what are they getting? It's like these giant VCRs, and,
yeah,
you know.
It was DVD players. It was super.
Yeah. Like, are they even region free? I don't even know.
I doubt it. But anyway, he kind of falls in love with the whole racing thing and their weird little family that Dominic, it's Dominic and his sister, Paul Walker falls in love with his sister, Mia.
Just so irresistible. He is the worst cop ever. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
He's a terrible policeman.
I think it's fair to say, without spoiling it, that he's not a cop for very long in this series. So,
well, yeah, I would hope not, because he's terrible at his job. How many people die on his watch? How many crimes are committed?
That's essentially the movie, is just him kind of coming to terms with the fact that it's them that are stealing it, because he honestly denies it for a long time, and he tries to blame it on...
Well, he blames it on, like, three different people who get arrested, and then he's like, oh, no, my bad. Oh, yeah, my bad again. Oh, guys, I'm sorry. I never actually graduated cop school.
and his superior is like, dude, it's like, Dominic. It's Vin Diesel.
Seriously.
He's like, come on now.
His superior, or his partner, who we need to point out, is played by none other than Buffalo Bill himself, Ted Levine.
Yes, yes, it is.
Yes. Not to be confused with Gary Busey from Point Break, everybody.
So who's the Dominic character in Point Break? Is that Swayze?
Dominic would be Swayze.
Vin Diesel, yeah.
Bodie would be, Patrick Swayze. And then you've got Lori Petty would be, I guess, a cross between the Michelle Rodriguez and Jordana Brewster character.
Oh, yeah. Michelle Rodriguez. We didn't talk about her yet.
Oh, we will. We will. Well, this is, like, early Michelle Rodriguez, when, like, it wasn't so bothersome that she could only play one note.
Yeah, you were kind of okay with it in this movie. Yeah. You were like, well, all right, this is what she is.
She's not too annoying in this movie. Like, I really don't like her in Resident Evil because I just find her, like, I just feel like she's punching me with her mouth whenever she talks. But in this one, like, she's still a tough girl, but she gets to kind of be a little softer. So, like, she's actually kind of cute in this movie.
Well, yeah, because she, you know, she has a boyfriend in this movie, and she's not just a tough army, whatever, fighting zombies. Yeah. She likes someone, and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, she always looks angry and like she's gonna punch me. So.
Yes, very much. I would not want to get into a fight with Michelle Rodriguez.
And Jordana Brewster is Mia, which is Dominic's sister that Paul Walker falls in love with. I feel like she's another one of those people who you're like, you hear her name all the time and you're like, what the fuck is she in? I have no idea.
Well, I'll always remember because she was in The Faculty, and I find The Faculty a very
memorable.
I do love
that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that,
but I don't remember that. That's her ever.
Yeah. Well, because again, it was like this movie was such a big hit, and was very much, I mean, I don't know that it was sold on, like, them, but I remember distinctly, like, and maybe I'm thinking of later movies, but, like, posters with their four faces on it. As if, like, oh, somebody's going to go see this movie because Jordana Brewster is in it. Yeah. I doubt that was the case, but it seemed like for some reason they thought these four people were really important part of the cast. I don't know. Maybe there are people out there who went to see it because of Michelle Rodriguez or Jordana Brewster.
Realistically, Vince is a bigger character than Lenny is. And Vince is essentially, I guess he's just part of like the family in air quotes. I forget how they say that Vin Diesel met him. How Dominic met him.
Aren't they like high school friends? Like they grew up together.
Yes, they grew up together. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Because we get like a whole like explanation of how everybody knows everybody.
So. And he basically like wants to date Mia, but Mia's not dating him, so he just hates Paul Walker. And my favorite part about Vince's character is that Vince is fucking right the whole movie. He's such a douchebag.
Oh, yeah.
But he's the only character that's right about Paul Walker.
Yeah. He is the token, like, hothead. But, yeah, he's the only one that makes perfect sense the entire movie. And he's cute, too.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Yeah. Kind of had, like looked a little bit like a rougher Hemsworth.
I guess.
A little bit. Like, if the Hemsworths had, like, you know, a cousin that was, like, on the wrong side of the law, that kind of thing.
I will just say that this is not the last film he is in.
Okay. I like that. I like the fact that, like, everybody keeps on coming back. I like to think that, like, the characters that died come back. Or have twin brothers that come back, because I just feel like that would be appropriate.
Well, Jesse doesn't come back, but he's definitely dead. He's my other favorite character we haven't talked about. Actually, he is my favorite character. We haven't talked about him yet. But there's some questions to be answered when we get to 3 and 4. And 5.
Now, you don't have to give me specifics, but am I correct in believing, like, some of the films are set at different, like, at earlier or, like, prequels or no?
In theory, yes, but without having seen 6, I still don't know exactly how that all ties together.
Okay, I see.
Because the end of 3 leaves some questions that you don't know how to answer when you get to 5.
Okay. I'm gonna draw another comparison of this franchise to another franchise that in total had 7 installments, and it's going to share a director by the time we get to part 7. These movies kind of have a lot in common with the Saw franchise, too, it seems. Being kind of surprise juggernaut hits, both feature actors who were on Lost. Both
who was on Lost?
Michelle Rodriguez and Benjamin Linus, aka beady-eyed guy. What's that actor's name? You know that actor.
Who was
name.
He in Fast and the Furious?
He was in Saw.
Oh.
I'm saying both
franchises.
And part 7 of Fast and the Furious is going to be directed by James Wan, who directed the first Saw.
Oh, interesting.
And The Conjuring and Insidious.
Insidious.
Yep.
Oh, I'm curious to see what he does with this.
Yeah, I read an interesting interview with him about it that, you know, made me very interested in it. And again, like, almost made me be like, okay, now I'm curious how this franchise kind of came to be. Because for a franchise to essentially have a very underwhelming sequel by all accounts, and I haven't seen it.
I know. No, absolutely.
Yeah, most people hate 2, and 2 didn't do that well at the box office. And for it to kind of come back and reinvent itself is very interesting and not very common. And, you know, there's certain ingredients you have to have for that to happen.
You know what I totally forgot? We have a listener connection to this franchise too.
Do we now?
Helene's husband was the editor on, I think, 3, 4, and 5, or 4, 5, and 6. He was assistant editor on 2 of them and then editor on 1 of them.
I don't think I knew that. That's awesome.
Yeah, because when I posted that I was watching them back in May, she said, you know, look for his name in the credits.
Ah, that is exciting. So now I have to, I shouldn't pay attention to the editing on this one, but yeah. I will carefully.
Well, no, it wasn't this one. It's the it's when after Justin Lin took over.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. I kind of remember this now.
Yeah. So we can ask her for any behind the scenes tidbits she may have.
Totally.
So anyway, wait, I want to talk about Jesse. See, now I teased you with the fact that this film is very similar to my favorite from the Step Up series, Step Up 2.
Okay.
Do you not see it?
Okay. So in both, let me think of the several different, things. In both, we have a character sort of trying to ingratiate his or herself to a different group of people that he or she doesn't necessarily belong to. We have kind of, I guess, a geeky sort of side character that's very science smart.
Yes, Jesse is Moose.
Jesse is Moose, although Moose does not suffer a drive-by, spoiler alert, drive-by shooting.
No.
Both movies feature legal and illegal, I guess, competitions.
Yes,
right?
race wars in the streets.
Okay, I see it. Both groups in both movies are kind of wanted anonymously by the police.
Yep,
the police don't know who they are, but they know that they've committed crimes of different levels. And both movies, is that it?
Yeah, that's more or less.
Okay.
And just Vince is essentially Tuck trying to keep Mia away from, or Andy away from their respective.
Okay, got
Tuck
it.
Is Andy's annoying boyfriend.
Okay, does this mean the third one is going to be like Step Up 3?
No, because it would be the second one would be like Step Up 3.
Right. But are we going to, do we save any rec centers along the way?
I don't think so.
Do we save any Cuban-American communities at any point in time?
We get a Cuban-American. We get Eva Mendez. She's Cuban, right?
Okay. Maybe.
Isn't she? I think she is. I might be totally speaking out of my ass, but wait, I'll look it up.
You could do what... So have I ever told you about my day calendars at work and how they drive me crazy?
Yeah, because they're often wrong.
And then I had one, this week one was offensive because the day calendar of the movie trivia day calendar, and it was like, which of these women played Will Smith's girlfriend in the movie Hitch? And the answers, like the choices, it was like Ava Mendez, Jennifer Esposito, Rosario Dawson, Daisy Fuentes. Like,
what
wow.
If there was Latin?
Or maybe like, you know, yeah, like it seemed like whoever like was thinking of those answers had something on their mind.
Super racist. Ava Mendez is Cuban, by the way.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I know that now.
There's your Cuban, in the next one, you'll get someone.
Okay. Good. So they save her community.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm good. I can continue watching these then. so long as they continue to serve iced cappuccinos at, decaf iced cappuccinos at police, squatting, facilities. How great was that? When like he goes to report to headquarters and it's like in this Hollywood mansion and they're like, Liz Taylor lived here. And they're like, would you like an iced cappuccino? And then cut to like Paul Walker sitting there with Ted Levine and they're sipping their iced cappuccinos. I just really hope that like iced cappuccino keeps appearing in the movies. You're going to break my heart if you tell me it doesn't.
I honestly don't even remember that scene.
And we also, speaking of like product placement, I don't know if your DVD did this too. Did your DVD include a PSA brought to you by Castrol Syntec?
I did not watch a DVD.
Okay. Because on the DVD there is a brought to you by Castrol Syntec. But it's like this long introduction about Castrol Syntec. And then it's Paul Walker saying, hey, the stunts in this movie were done by professionals, so don't do it at home. And then it's, this ad has been brought to you by Castrol Syntech. And the ad, the framing device around the PSA is longer than the PSA.
Well, they don't want people to attempt the stunts to get hurt. Excuse me.
It would seem. It would seem. They don't want people overdoing it, overdoing it on the NOS or pressing the NOS button too soon.
So do you want to talk about some of the action set pieces? Like we were talking about the music. That's
yes.
Essentially what this
is. That is what they are. Yes, indeed.
I don't really count the opening because it's really just Paul Walker driving by himself. And yep. He gets angry that his car tops out at 140, which he needs a faster car. So he puts an Austin in the car, yes. So the first real big race is when it's just like a meetup drag race. And it's him and three other drivers, right? Vin Diesel, Hector, and Ja Rule. Did we mention Ja Rule is in
Ja
this film?
Ja Rule is in this film, everybody.
Just in case you didn't know and you were curious, Ja Rule is in this movie, as are some of his songs.
But he doesn't get his two ladies.
Oh, and what's her name? I can't remember now.
Maria! Maria!
Yes, it's Maria.
Yeah.
So that one, they're racing for pink slips, yes? Vin Diesel and Paul Walker?
Yes.
Whoever loses gets the other one's car. So Paul Walker hits the NOS, too much NOS. He almost burns his car. And eventually, does the car get beat up there, or does it get beat up when they go to the Asian gang's place?
I'm trying to remember. It's...
I think it...
Because he doesn't get a... No, wait. He gets his car, he goes and gets more NOS, and then it's the second race where he loses, but then he saves Vin Diesel, right?
I think that's the same race.
So yeah.
There's only one big first race. This one doesn't have as many action set pieces as some of the other ones do.
Okay.
So it's really only this and Race Wars and the truck.
And yeah. And then the kind of the big finale sequence.
So he basically tears apart his engine because he has too much NOS in his car. And Vin Diesel has won his car. And then the cops come and Vin Diesel's like, get in. And he takes him and they pull into like the wrong area of town and you meet the opposing gang.
Yes, the Asian gang.
Yes, led by Johnny Tran.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole premise of the movie is that Paul Walker owes Vin Diesel a 10-second car because he burned out his car and couldn't give it to Vin Diesel.
Right. And that is very important because, you know, Paul Walker does not welch on what he owes, even if it violates everything he's supposed to do as an officer of the law.
Yes, because... spoiler alert, rather than arrest Vin Diesel at the end of the film, he gives him his 10-second car and lets him leave.
He's like, yeah, dude, go ahead. Go to Mexico or whatever. It's fine. I'll just not be a cop anymore and hope I don't get arrested for, you know, letting you go.
Dominic had a very heartwarming story about watching his father race and some idiot.
Look, yes. It's very sad when somebody's parent dies when they are young. Does that mean that if they grow up to commit crimes, they are not arrested for them? Erica, does it? Does it? Think about that now. But yeah, man, it was really bad. My parents died in a car crash when I was young. So sorry about raping you.
But he already did his time, and he's not going back to jail because...
Well, he did his time for a crime, and then he committed another crime. So it's not like, oh, no, it's cool. He already went to jail. He's fine now. It's like, it's not like double jeopardy, like, oh, you already went to jail, so fine, no, do whatever you want.
Emily, he's not going back to jail, okay? Just...
I know, because Paul Walker is a terrible cop, so that's why he's not going back to jail. And obviously, like, it is not a violent crime. He is not raping people out of their
TV
players. Yes. But he is still stealing them. He is still committing a crime.
But he's not going back to jail.
And I like, too, how complicated their heist is. Why can't they just follow the car until it goes to a gas station, hold the guy up, steal it, and drive away? They drive fast. They could have gotten away that way. Rather than... Because apparently nobody else drives in Los Angeles ever. So if you're a truck, you can drive down a highway with five cars around you and don't ever worry about another car coming by.
Well, most trucks drive at like 2-3 in the morning, don't they?
Well, it was
when no one is on the road.
It was light out enough where it was like, okay, so it's probably like 4 a.m. or a little later. Erica, it's California. Like, there's going to be another car on the road at some point.
But they were out for Race Wars. They were out in Coachella.
There's other cars around.
I'm just going to defend this. I'm going down
the
fighting.
The most populous state, Erica. Probably the most cars, too.
I'm going down fighting, regardless of what you say. I will defend this movie till my dying day.
I'm saying this. I am somebody that generally gives, especially action movies, I will give huge passes. I guess, and again, I think, and I know I have a chip on my shoulder about this one. I have a feeling that in part two, like, Vin Diesel, or not Vin Diesel, because I know he's not in it, like, Tyrese is going to, like, drive in, like, on a unicorn, and that unicorn is going to transform into a spaceship that is then going to transform back into a motorcycle, and I'll be fine with it. But for some reason, this one just has so many things that I'm just like, but what about, and I know I'm overthinking it, because I know this was a dumb summer movie that people love because it's just a good old-fashioned dumb action movie. But I am just, I think it's just because the first time I saw this movie, I was at an age where, like, those things bothered me. So when I watch it, like they're still there. And again, I'm sure I'm going to let go by two Fast, Too Furious, not part two. But yeah, I can't not point these things out, Erica, that's all.
Two, I'm kind of whatever about. Three, I do have actual issues with, so.
Okay.
We'll get there. But this one, I'm just going to defend because it's ridiculous and I love it.
Fair enough.
We can talk about how they robbed the truck because it is absurd, but I don't know. There's security cameras at gas stations and truck stops. There's other people.
It is so much easier to drive and surround a car and shoot a repelling sticky gun thing at the car, climb up on the car. And what were they going to do to the driver? Like, were they, because it's not like they're doing it, like, it's not like, this isn't spoiling, like, it's not like Breaking Bad early season 5 when, like, they're able to rob a train without anybody knowing. Like, the dude's driving, like, he sees them. Right?
I don't actually know what the plan was.
I mean, spoiler alert again, the plan doesn't go off without a hitch because the driver has a fucking shotgun.
Well, see, that's my issue. That's my issue. Why is this truck driver so protective of these DVD players that he's willing to kill people with a shotgun?
Because maybe these DVD players were going to the orphanage, Erica. Did you ever think about that? Because I know Vin Diesel didn't.
That reminds me of my favorite really bad joke that my dad used to tell as a kid. Have I told you it before, the penguin joke?
No.
I've never told it on air. I'm going to tell it right now because it has to do with trucks and semis and penguins. So there's this guy, and he has a refrigerator truck full of penguins, and he's bringing the penguins from one zoo to the other zoo. He's transporting them, and to get from zoo A to zoo B, he has to drive across a desert. So he's driving across the desert, and the truck breaks down, and he's like, crap. So there's another truck coming, and he flags down the truck, and he's like, hey, man, I have these penguins. My truck just broke down. Like, they're going to die out here if I don't get them to the zoo. Can you take them to the zoo for me? And the guy's like, yeah, no problem. So they load the penguins into the other truck. Guy drives away. First guy is there, and he's fixing his truck. He's just finishing fixing his truck, and he looks up, and here comes the truck back down the road from the way he came. The guy pulls over. He's like, hey. And he's like, hey, man, like, where are you going? You still have the penguins in the truck. And he's like, yeah, I took them to the zoo, and now I thought we'd go to a movie. But I'm chump. Yeah, I really like that joke as an 8-year-old.
You know what would be awesome? If Vin Diesel told that joke to Paul.
That'd be amazing.
So, like, he's like, the penguins, like, no, so he moves them in a different truck. That would just be great.
I took him to the movies. Now I took him to the zoo. Now I thought we'd go for some ice cream or to a movie. Anyway, I don't actually, that was my way of deflecting the fact that I don't actually know how they were robbing the trucks.
It was a very convoluted scheme.
I figure there must have been an easier way, but this is the only way they knew how was to drive.
The only way they knew how was to, like, plot it out so specifically and, like, to upgrade their car so that they could do it. Or they could have just waited till they took a pee break.
I guess.
That's fine.
Oh, you know what I forgot to mention before? The guy who directed this, Rob Cohen, he actually also directed Triple X.
And apparently also The Skulls.
Yes, The Skulls also. And Daylight, which is my favorite Sylvester Stallone movie.
I've never seen that one.
Really? I own it. Let's watch it. Oh my God. It's like perfect for one. Like, it's, I feel like it's along the lines of like Cliffhanger. Like,
Gotcha. See, like, yeah, I have no problem with Cliffhanger or, what did we watch recently? We watched Volcano recently.
I love Volcano.
Dante's Peak?
And Dante's
Peak. Not so much. I preferred Volcano. It was dumber.
I think as a kid, I preferred Volcano. Wait, which one was Elijah Wood in?
No, that's Deep Impact.
Then I like Deep Impact.
Volcano is the one about the volcano.
Which is the same as Armageddon. Deep Impact Armageddon.
Deep Impact is Deep Impact is to Armageddon.
As Volcano is
Dante. I would say what Dante's Peak is to Volcano.
Okay.
I think. Because Dante's Peak is a little more serious, kind of like Deep Impact's a little more serious, whereas Volcano is just like, there's a volcano! Tommy Lee Jones can fight it. Sort of like how Armageddon is kind of like, yeah, there's a volcano. Steve Buscemi and Bruce Willis can, or an asteroid, they can fight it. Yeah.
Talking about the Fast and the Furious leads to these beautiful conversations about really shitty action movies that I want to watch now. Daylight is wonderful, though. I highly recommend Daylight.
Okay. I will put it on my radar.
I own it.
Well, Erica, you can have any beer you want so long as it's a Corona.
I love that part, too.
My favorite, too, is the all of the sandwich humor surrounding Paul Walker's character.
Yeah, the tuna sucks here. Because the point is that he goes into the same cafe every day where Mia works. And every day he asks how the tuna is. And she's like, it's not good. And then he orders it.
Well, how does he order it? It's not like he just orders, like, all the tuna sandwich. What does he order specifically?
I don't remember.
Tuna on white bread with the crust cut off.
Can't
cut off your own crust.
Paul Walker. He just wants Mia to cut his crust off.
I'm just really, really white.
But yeah, so that's where the sandwich thing comes from. And then I love that when Vin Diesel, after Paul Walker saves Vin Diesel, that's the way it is. Not the other way around. Vin Diesel doesn't save Paul Walker. Paul Walker drops Vin Diesel off, and then he's like, come in for a drink.
Yeah.
And then he gives him Vince's beer.
Yes. Right, right, right. And then Vince senses something is awry.
Yes.
And he is correct, of course. But nobody believes him because he's a jerk.
Pretty much.
When it comes down to people, if you suspect something going on, you just can't be an asshole about it.
Yeah, you just have to be kind of chill and be like, hey, so,
Hey, so don't you think it's weird that this, like, really well put together white guy seems to always appear where we are, and knows exactly what we're doing and just seems really eager to please us? Don't you think that's a little weird? Yeah.
Call me crazy, but do you have high notes?
I guess my high notes would probably be, I guess, two things that I do really like about this movie. One is I like that the women are treated pretty respectfully and are pretty bad. Like, Michelle Rodriguez's character is badass. Yep. And it's not in a, like, demeaning way where it's like, oh, she drives a pink car, like, you know, she does the easy stuff. Like, no, she's driving right next to them, and it's not, they don't treat her any differently, which I like.
And when they do treat, like, when the one douche does treat her differently, she kicks his ass.
Exactly.
The one guy who tried to race her, he was like, blah, 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 baby, come in here. And she was like, no, I'll bet you $2,000 that I'll win this race, and I will.
Yeah, and she does. Like, so I think that's actually done real for movies that I know other people have problems with, of like, oh, those like slow motion cuts to like girls' asses that they walk. It's like, yeah, but they treat like their actual female characters respectfully.
Yeah.
And then like the thing, like, I can joke about Vin Diesel all I want, but like, he is what makes this movie like what it is. Like, somebody else might have been able to do that part, but this movie is memorable because this guy just has such a specific persona that's not cookie cutter and isn't, I mean, Paul Walker is, you could cast my cat in that role and it wouldn't make the movie any worse. But Vin Diesel really does. Like, you could see this was a hit because of Vin Diesel's presence, I think.
Oh, absolutely. He is my high note of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. this is, like, who he is. He's, like, not acting, and
yeah.
It wouldn't be the same movie without right. him.
Like, I mean, he gets a lot of, like, bad write-ups sometimes for different aspects of his choices, I guess. But the guy has charisma, and when he gets to use it, it's really fun to watch.
Yeah. I listen to the Hollywood Babylon podcast, which is Ralph mm-hmm. Garman and Kevin Smith. And I forget who told the story, if it was Kevin or if it was Ralph Garman, but one of them was like in the studio one of the days that Vin Diesel was doing the voice for the Iron Giant.
Oh, wow.
And he talked about how like incredibly intense Vin Diesel got, mm-hmm. like when he was getting ready to record and he would like, you know, do like these like voice warm-ups and like have this really serious face and they'd be like mm-hmm. action and he's like with the headphones on at the thing and he doesn't like talk in full sentences in that movie, right?
Right.
It's just like one word. I forget what the word was, but he was like, you know, he got really intense and then he started talking and they said action and he was like tree. and then he stopped and he was like, I felt really good about that one. I think that one was really great. And the director was like, yeah, that was really great, Vin. Let's just, you know, do it one more time. And let's see if we could add a little more, like whatever he said, he was like, let's see if we could add a little more emotion to it or, you know, just a little bit differently. And so they go through the whole thing again. They call action. He gets all serious. And again, he just goes, tree. And he gets the same exact performance. And they were just like, he was like, yeah, I feel really good about that one. Like, that was
right,
really good.
Print, moving on.
Yeah. And the director was just like, okay, whatever.
We got that one. We nailed it. Nailed it.
And like, that's what he is. I feel like he takes what he does seriously. He just only has like one way to do it. And that's his way. And it works yeah. for him. And
it's kind of a lot of the action stars of like the 80s. That was kind of their thing. Like, Schwarzenegger can only has so much range, and you can challenge it a little bit. You know, I mean, Total Recall, he's actually acting in that movie. But at the same time, like, there's a limit, so it's all about, like, harnessing that personality with the right material.
Right, and this is the right material.
This is the right material for him, absolutely, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. So, low notes?
I don't have any low notes.
Seriously? Come on.
No, I mean, yeah, I don't know how they were planning to rob that truck. I'm sorry. It's just, I got nothing.
I'm glad you've given up and trying to rationalize the world's most unnecessarily complicated heist ever.
I am sure it was a really good plan that involved Vince getting in the car and making the driver pull over.
And
loading a semi-truck full of DVD players into the trunks
right?
of five
could
divots.
They have just, like parked their car in front as if they broke down. The truck had to pull over and help them. And while, like, the truck driver was calling for help, like, they were like, quickly, unload the VCRs now, do it.
Maybe it was just, like, they were surrounding him to get him to pull over to an area where they had a truck, because the other issue is that they wouldn't be able to fit the entire load into the trunks of the five Civics.
A tiny little Honda Civics.
Yeah. So maybe that was like the ultimate plan, was to get someone in the front seat and force him to pull over once they surrounded him, to an area where they had a truck waiting, but I don't actually.
Instead, they happened to try to rob the world's most aggressive truck driver.
Yeah. We also were missing Jesse during that heist because he screwed up at Race Wars. So
he was the missing element.
Maybe he was the integral part of that.
It would have been cool if we found out that the truck driver was actually Ted Levine from Joyride. Right?
He's
right? That would have been great.
Walker.
He's still, and like Lily Sobieski's tied up in the back. Like, that would just would have been great.
Steve Zahn comes running out. He's like, hey, that's Steve Zahn. that's the biggest low note. But otherwise, I love this movie and I think it's wonderful.
I mean, my low note is just that, like, it's so point for point, Point Break that it's very distracting to me still.
I'm sorry. So,
it's okay. Again, I happened to watch Point Break very recently. That should help things.
The rest of them aren't Point Break, right?
I know, and I look forward to seeing the next one that is not Point Break.
Yeah. The Too Fast, Too Furious might be a little bit of a challenge, but it has its fun moments.
Okay. I mean, I know based on like audience consensus, I know people have said that's the weakest. So if anything, I am ready to dive in and then climb up, if you will.
Last random note. the Jetta that Jesse drives at Race Wars, the blue and white Jetta that he loses to Johnny Tran and then drives away in. Mm-hmm. Frankie Muniz purchased that car after the
drove it. Was he illegal to drive that?
Yeah, I think in 2001, I'm pretty sure he was.
Okay.
Because that was like almost at the height of my crush on him, and I'm pretty sure he was of age by that point.
He was legal at that point.
Yeah, maybe. Or just turning legal. He was probably like 17.
Right. But, you know, he was worldly. He lived in the world.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So, yeah.
What's he doing in life now?
He just got arrested recently, actually. Oh, no.
Oh, well, good for him for, you know.
No. Wait, I misspoke. He didn't get arrested. He, like, had a stroke or something. Wait, I'm going to look it up.
Okay, he had a stroke. Okay, his last credit was, okay, well, he's still working. He's been doing some TV. Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, Last Standing. All right, he's in a TV movie called Last Vegas.
Yeah, he suffered a mini stroke at age 26 on November 30th, 2012.
Goodness, well, I wish him the best. He is in a movie with Barry Bostwick next, so.
Yes, I had a big crush on him growing up. Yeah. I wish they hadn't canceled Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. That show was really good.
I'm sorry. I didn't watch it. So therefore, I did not help canceled.
No help at all.
No, I'm terrible like that. What can I say? All right. I think I'm good on the Fast and the Furious.
Do you feel good about what you're in for the next 6 months?
I am strapped in. Erica, I'll tell you something. I am going to need a lot of NOS to get through these movies.
And lucky for you, NOS is actually an energy drink at this point.
Oh, sweet.
Did you not know that?
I don't think I did. No.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain. I don't know if it maybe got discontinued.
Like, is it the same stuff that like I can pour in my car?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't chance that.
Okay. Well, crafty listeners, I mean, we should do a PSA telling people not to pour NOS in their car, the energy drink.
But it's confusing because it has the same, logo as the car NOS here. Look.
That just seems like you're asking for trouble.
I sent you the link to drinknos.com. This episode of GleeCast was brought to you by NOS Energy Drink.
Oh, it's opening Safari. It will take me forever to open. Ugh. Yep. I need to change the default settings on my Skype so it doesn't open up a browser that I don't use because it crashes.
But anyway.
Anyway, it's still loading. So yes, point being, I can get through these. I wish they were on Instant Watch. It sucks that they're not.
I know.
They're not on Amazon, so it's all like discs, and I do one disc at a time, so that sucks.
Well, I watch the first movie in a particular fashion that I feel like we could watch the rest of the movies the same way. So if you want to go about it in that way, then we can discuss it off the air.
Yeah, but see, I feel like these movies also, I want the big screen experience on.
I agree.
So it's harder to do that via a smaller viewing device, if you will.
I can see that.
Yeah, so it's fine. It's fun because I will watch them usually before I go to work. So it's like in the morning when I'm like brushing my teeth and stuff, this is what's on.
It's good for that. It's good background.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It means I have a lot of tuna fish in the morning for breakfast because I just get the craving. But we'll see. We'll see what happens from there.
We'll see. It's gonna be a journey, but we're gonna do it.
Quite a journey. A fast and furious journey.
Thank you for taking this journey with me, Emily.
I am buckling my seatbelt, which of course they don't do in the movie, and they should. All right. We do not know what we're covering next as of yet.
Hopefully, it'll be something seasonal. Emily has not made a decision yet.
No, I'm not. I need to think on it and think how best to repay Erica for these Fastly Furious movies. What's the best Christmas gift back on that? I'm not sure yet. I'm thinking.
We'll find out. Indeed. And you'll find out on December 1st when that episode is released.
Right. In the meantime, you can always come to our Facebook page to talk Fast and Furious or whatever.
You can just sing to us.
Yeah, we're cool with that.
Search for GleeCast on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. We're there.
If you have any personal feedback, as always, it is gleecast@gmail.com.
That is true, indeed.
Other than that, we'll see you next month.
All right, drive safely, everybody.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Aw.
How nice. Bye.